This psalm can be split into really two parts, and you need to see verses 1 through 6 as David in the back of the cave, afraid and hiding for his life. And then verses 7 onward, you need to read those verses with David at the mouth of the cave, victorious, being delivered by God. So when we read this psalm, please understand, half the psalm is David in the back, afraid, not knowing what to do, praying, seeking God. And the second half of the psalm is David delivered, victorious. Verse 1. Be merciful to me, God. Be merciful to me. Notice he begins this psalm the same way he began Psalm 51 when he was in great sin, how he came before God due to his sin. What does a man after God's heart look like when he's in sin? Be merciful to me. God, this is, it's only you. Only you can save. Only you can deliver. The same way as David is afraid, as David is hiding, as David doesn't know what to do with his life at this moment in this crisis, David starts in a posture of God, you are great. You are sovereign. Have mercy on me. I know you control all things. So have mercy on me, O God. Be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I am in a cave, but in the cave is not my refuge. You are my refuge. You are my strong tower. You are the stronghold that I run to. In the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. David is afraid. He's hiding in a cave. He has been overshadowed by the darkness of the cave. He is in crisis. But he says, it's not in the shadow of this cave that I am taking refuge. It is in the shadow of your wings. Now, for those of you who are new to Bible study, God is not a bird. God does not have wings. But this is a psalm. It's poetry. It's like songs are written in poetic terms. It's imagery. But it's so important. David is in his life, in reality, what he sees, he's in the darkness of a cave, but he knows there's something more, that he, as a man after God's heart, he can also see something else, and it's something that I want all of us to be able to see in this room this morning. I don't know what darkness overshadows you this morning, but I hope, like David, a man after God's heart, you can see another shadow that is covering you and protecting you and giving you refuge this morning. David, while in the back of the cave, knows that God is with him and God is for him and God is sovereign, and it is not in the cave where refuge is taken. It is in the God of David where refuge is taken. And the wings are so symbolic here, and please don't miss this. There are two main images of wings throughout Scripture that David could be referring to. The first is the wings of a mother hen covering and protecting her chicks. And Jesus himself even used that imagery in Matthew chapter 23. You remember when Jesus looks out over Jerusalem and he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed, stoned the prophets, how you kill everybody God sends to you, how I've longed like a mother hen to gather you up and to protect you. But you wouldn't let me. In this room this morning, some of you in crisis, some of you in situations that are making you afraid. Now, most of us, we don't have somebody that's after us, that we can feel their hot breath on the back of our neck chasing us, wanting to kill us. But many of you look at your families and you look at your children and you're just afraid for your children because you don't know how they're going to turn out. You don't know what's going to happen to them, and are they going to make all the right choices? And have I done everything as a parent? I was reading something just this past week, and I can't, it was somebody that you've probably heard of before, but he was talking about how those voices, they come to us as parents, and how all the data, he called it data and put quotation marks around it, how all the data rushes in. I haven't done this for them. I haven't done that for them. Oh my gosh, I wasn't here for them. All that data, and that's real data. That's real time, right? And it condemns, and we become afraid that we were bad parents. We didn't raise our children right, and all the calamity they're going to face is our fault. Maybe that's some of the fear you're dealing with this morning, or maybe it's a marriage issue where you're looking at your spouse and you're going, I just don't even know. I don't know if I love them. I don't know if this is going to work out. I mean, he's a jerk and she's a rear end and blah, blah, blah. It's getting heavy, so I had to throw a little humor in there. Maybe it's your job, your career, whatever it is. What's causing you fear this morning? I hope you can see yourself the way that David sees. If you focus on the shadow of your calamity, you will be overcome. To be a man after God's heart, you have to see past and through the calamity. Don't focus on what's wrong. Focus on the God whom you serve, who will protect you in the shadow, not of the calamity, but in the shadow of His wings through the calamity. But there's even a greater image here. And if you'll just give me 2 minutes. Because David begins this psalm with mercy. Have mercy on me. David was a man, if you follow his life, he is a man with a strong affection for the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord. He wants to build a house, we talked about, just to hold the Ark. The presence of God is what the Ark symbolized. But he was not allowed to. But there's one chant where there's one time where David brings the ark back to Jerusalem, and they're having a parade, and that's where he's dancing out, you know, with his clothes off. A lot of people say we should do that in church. Nah! It's not a church service, it's a parade, it's a celebration. And even then, when we go outside for Fall Festival, keep your clothes on, please. It's a costume party, but it's not a birthday suit, so don't mismatch the two. David loved the Ark of the Covenant, and on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there are two what? There are two cherubim, winged angels, and their wings covered over the top of the Ark, and the place that they covered was called the mercy seat. It's where the high priest once a year would go and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifices and make atonement for the people. It's how people got forgiveness of sins, the mercy of God that was covered by the wings of the cherubim. When David said, I run to you. You're my refuge. I hide under the shadow of your wings. Most likely, he's not thinking about the hen and the chick, although that does make sense here. But most likely, he's thinking about the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy that can only be found under the shadow of the wings of the cherubim, where God forgives and saves and delivers sinners. If you're in this room this morning, know this. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you have done. There is mercy at the feet of God through Christ Jesus. David prostrates himself before the mercy of God. I take refuge in nothing else, but I do take refuge in you. So if you're in the back of the cave this morning, I hope you don't see the darkness of the back of that cave. I pray you would see the shadow of the wings. If you are in darkness this morning, may it be the darkness of the wings of God covering you and bringing you mercy. Well, Brent, I just don't know if I can believe that. You must. What other hope do you have? God loves you, created you, sent Jesus Christ in your place for your sin. You must trust Him. It's what it means to be a man after God's heart. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He will send from heaven and save me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. What is David doing here? He is praising God for his deliverance. He's still in the back of the cave. He is still in the shadow of darkness of his calamity. But already he begins to proclaim, he begins to praise that God in his steadfast love will deliver. God is faithful. He is going to bring me through. Many of us believe, because we're practical, pragmatic people, right? When we're in calamity, here's what we do. We come before God and we say, God, if you will get me out of this, then I will praise you. I will go to church. I will pay my tithes. I will do whatever you want me to do. Just get me out of this. But right now, I don't feel like praising you. Praise begins. Proclamation of deliverance begins in the back of the cave. Now, some of you may say, whoa, wait a minute. Am I in Texas? What's happening here? Brent, that sounds awful word of faith, man. That sounds awful, David is not in denial. Okay? David's not living a life denying the fact that he's in calamity. But he does have faith in his God. And listen to me, because some of you, what we're doing in American Christianity right now is we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Because there are people who abuse and all this word of faith nonsense, and if you speak it, it's going to happen, and all that crazy stuff, and you got people out going, woohoo, God's going to give me $1 million. I proclaim, I believe it. He's God, right? He can do anything. He's going to give me $1 million, and I'm going to be the richest guy on my block. I'm not promoting that, not encouraging that at all, but we're the people of God, right? God is and God loves us, right? God did send Jesus, right? God says all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? Don't throw the baby out with the bath. You can have confidence, because if you're a theological neat-nick like me, sometimes here's what I do. It's not what I want to do, it's just what I do sometimes. Calamity hits, tragedy hits, and I go, oh, well, you know, Paul lost his head, so I guess, you know, who am I to say I won't lose mine? And we begin to think in a very negative way about who God is, about how God has raised us up, and what God wants for us in this world for his name and for his glory. I'm trying to come to a place like David, who is constantly throughout encouraging himself in the Lord. You don't have to be fatalistic to be a true theological saint of God. Just because John got boiled in oil doesn't mean you're going to be boiled in oil. David, from the back of the cave, in faith, Jesus said more than Paul, John, anybody. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. How much longer am I going to have to be around? Oh, ye of little faith. Faith moves mountains, Jesus said. Just the faith of a mustard seed. Here's what I want for you, because I know how some of you struggle with this. Here's what I want for you. I want you like David, a man after God's heart. I want you in the midst of calamity, in the midst of the darkness and pressure and fear that this world brings. I want you to be able to speak in faith, proclaiming deliverance in God through his son, Christ Jesus. God wants good for his name and for his glory, and we are his people who image him in this world. I'm starting to sound like a 13-year-old boy. I heard my voice crack. This is important to me. It's important for you. It's important for your emotional health, your mental health. You've got to know in the storm, in the darkness, and you can proclaim the deliverance of God, and you should proclaim the deliverance of God before deliverance comes. Praise begins in the back of the cave for David. And I look around, especially in Reformed communities, People just, oh, well, you know, God's sovereign, life sucks, and what do you do? What verse was that again? I missed it. And I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to say, come on, guys, let's, right? We pride ourselves in all of the Bible, rightly divided. David's a man after God's heart. David, in the despair, praises God in advance for deliverance. So if you're in darkness today, I hope you can see the darkness of the shadow of his wings instead of the actual calamity that you're facing. And number two, I hope that you can begin to praise God and proclaim his deliverance for you, your marriage, your family, your job, your life, your gospel influence in your community before you see it, before it ever comes to fruition. God, help us. Help us. We got to go. There's really just one more point I want to make strongly, but let's move through the text. Verse 4, my soul is in the midst of lions. Look at the imagery. I lie down amid fiery beasts. Some of you, you're like, yeah, I get that. I don't know about the deliverance much, but I get the lions and the fiery beasts. I look around me and all I see are sharp teeth and hungry bellies waiting to devour me. David understands. You know, we read the Bible sometimes and we divorce ourselves from the actual lives they lived and we go, oh, well, that was easy for David, but it's harder today. No, it's not. It's the same. We're all in this human story together for the glory of God. Lions and beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. That's another one I get, Brent. The whole tongue being a sharp sword thing, nailed it. Because some of you have been pierced. Some of you have had a tongue pierce your heart, and you've allowed it to the wound to fester. James chapter 3 talks about the tongue being a restless evil. It's full of evil. It's like it's a small part, but like the rudder of a ship, it may be small, but it steers the whole ship. David knows what it means to be slandered, what it means to be talked about behind your back, what it means to conspire again and get other people against you. David knows the shadow of that. But he is in the shadow of God Almighty, and he is proclaiming his deliverance even in the midst of the lions and the sharp sword tongues. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was humbled. It was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. And we saw that happen as Saul, looking at David, goes, I did evil, and you have repaid me good. You are more righteous than I. The sins of people will be shouted from the rooftops, the New Testament says. Sometimes we try to get in there and we try to prove our point. We try to be right. We try to show righteousness when the reality is we just need to, like David, praise God, proclaim deliverance in God, and let God work out the details. Because the pit that people are digging for you to be snared in, they will only fall into it themselves. Now, we move from the back of the cave to the front of the cave. My heart is steadfast, O God. Underline that word steadfast. It means fixed. Now, I want you to look back up real close to verse 3, though. God will send out his stead, his fixed love and his faithfulness. What I want you to see. And this is part of the faith that we should have as men and women of God. The fixed love of God is why David can have a fixed heart now at the mouth of the cave. This is not a meet in the middle kind of thing. This is not a God does his part and we do our part. Because he is fixed in his steadfast love, we are fixed in our hearts towards him. His fixing is first. Ours is second. You can't make that happen. God has to give it to you. So ask him for it. My heart is fixed, oh God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and make melody. Now watch it. There's a lot of repetition in this psalm. But here's the final point I really want to drive home this morning before we go out and have a lot of fun. Awake, my glory. Awake, rise up, my glory. And this my glory terminology, David uses this all the time. It means the whole of us, our whole being. Last week we talked about what is your glory? When David is going, my glory will praise you, what does that mean for you? What are you glorying in? David, his glory is bound up and wrapped up steadfastly. It's fixed in the being of God, the deliverance of God, the salvation of his God. Awake, rise up, my glory. Arise up, personally, me, everything that I am. Wake up. Wake up, O harp and lyre, instruments that David knew how to play. What can I find to make some noise? What can I find to make music? Wake it up. Make it rise up. Everything in me personally, rise up. Everything that I can find to assist me, rise up. And one more time he says, awake, I will awake the dawn. I will cause the sun to rise. Look, here's something. Again, let me go back momentarily. David's praise began in the darkness of a cave. David proclaimed deliverance before deliverance came. But now he's at the mouth of the cave. Now deliverance has come. And David cries three times, rise up, awake, awake, awake. Me, my whole being awake. Everything I can use, awake. I'm going to wake up the sun in the dark. Remember, weeping may endure the night, but joy comes in the morning. I'm going to wake up the sun. He's talking. He is praising God. This is praise. He was already praising God in the darkness, but now the deliverance, he has seen it with his eyes. Let me tell you something about praise. And this is hard for a church like ours. It just is. But we've got to figure out how we can get here. Some of you would say we're already there because you don't know what I'm going to say, but now I'm going to say it and you'll understand. Our praise should come from our whole being. When we come into this place, when we are at home, man, the joys of God should constantly be on our lips as we adore him, as we love him, as we exalt him, as we extol him, as we lift him up for all that he is and all that he does on our... I mean, he's given us every good thing that we have. You might say, well, my life just may not be like your... Every good thing you do have, he gave to you. May your whole being wake up. Rise up, people of God. What can you find around you to help you? Please don't everybody bring a tambourine next week. But you know, there are some instruments are secular and they're ungodly and blah, blah, blah. Dave, whatever David could find to help him praise his God, he said, wake it up. Wake it up. I'm going to use it to give praise to God. And David is the quintessential worshiper in the Bible. And wait, please, John, if I don't say anything about vertical and lateral before I end, remind me. Just go vertical and lateral, because we got to get there. Whatever I can find to help praise God. And then he says, my praise, I'm going to wake up the sun. I'm going to bring the sun up from the darkness with my praise, my extollation of God for his deliverance. Praise should be loud. I knew I got John. He's our drummer. Come on, a brave heart moment here. Brave heart moment. I know reality is not near as romantic as moments like this and thoughts like this. And I know sometimes I have come in here and I have tried and felt weird and stupid and everybody's looking at me and I wouldn't do that anymore. But our praise for God should be with such passion. It should be like we're trying to raise the sun, eliminate the darkness of the sky by raising the sun up on the horizon. What imagery! Can we praise God like that? When John Wright was leading a little bit ago, I'm thinking, I'm all in this text. And I'm trying to sing loud and it's just bad. It's bad. So I know there are things that prevent us from really trying to wake up the sun. But man, if we can catch a glimpse of the deliverance that God brings us, that we proclaim while in darkness, but when deliverance comes, our praise should be loud. There should be music. Our whole being should be involved. We have. I'm going too long, and this is not the day for this. But sometimes I feel Stephen and I talk in the office. Sometimes in our worship, I just feel like we're a bunch of hypocrites. Like that song today we're singing, and it says, "With both hands lifted high," and there's probably three people in the room with hands lifted. I'm just like, why do we sing this song? God, nobody does it. And this is not. Please don't. This is not to be a spanking on us. But as we study the Psalms, as we study to see what it looks like to be a man after God's heart, I want this. Isn't there something in you that's just burning? Isn't there something in you that is going, yes, I need to wake up. My whole being needs to come alive in praise of my God. My whole being, I got to find whatever I can, my voice, whatever I can find, the instruments, man, get some more instruments up there. Let's awake everything we can and let us bring the sun up, eliminating the darkness by praising our God. Amen. And it doesn't have to be weird, but it needs to be real. It needs to be there. We need to wake up. We can't sit on our hands. God's done too much. And then here's why. Here's why. Why is that so important? Brandon, do you want us just to be a charismatic, weird? No! No! I don't want to do things to be doing them. The motive's got, that's why our soul, we got to awake. It's got to be from here. It can't be so everybody can see me. Woo, look at me. I love Jesus. From the inside out, our worship needs to wake up. Watch this. Here's what I was wanting. I wanted to get this. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will give thanks to you among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. There's two things about David's worship, about his praise. It's vertical. First, he's praising God. He's looking to God. He's thanking God. It's real to God. Worship goes up. But it's also, notice, it's also lateral. It's also with the peoples. It's the peoples coming together. David is a man who wanted people to see what God had done. He wanted to glorify God. And praise and worship for David was a tool for the nations to see the people of God rejoicing in their God. Now check this out. We are some 3,000 years removed from the life of David. Some 3,000 years. And because of the worship, because of the praise that emulated from the steadfast love of God, making his heart steadfast from David's life still today, worship, we gather together so the nations can see and be glad. We gather together as the people of God to sing his praises. You want to talk about our fourth point of legacy? I don't know if Jason Nails is in here this morning, but this just hit me, so we got plenty of time. John, go ahead and come up here, though. I'll never forget at Jason Nails' dad's funeral, Larry. Larry was a Baptist guy. Many of you come from Baptist backgrounds, so any kind of worship and praise kind of makes you, your sphincter gets a little tight. I don't know about all that, you know. Larry was a man who had an experience with God at a, what do you call those big men's conferences? Jason's in here. I heard his voice. What was the conference? Promise Keepers. So he had this experience. He was just overwhelmed by the presence of God, man. And he began to worship God, and he was a hands-raised kind of, he became kind of a hands-raised kind of guy. And he didn't miss a promise key. He went to like the last 7,000 of them. However, that's an exaggeration. But every year, man, he would go. He just made it a point. And he came back to his Baptist church, and he's praising God. And his best friend in that Baptist church was just like, I don't get it. I just don't get it. I like to be reserved. I like to... I don't know where I'm going with this, but at Larry's funeral, his best friend, who was his not a very demonstrative person at all, very reserved, very quiet, he stands up at Larry's funeral and he says, "Hey, Larry, for you." He lifts both his hands up in the air and he says, "Praise God, praise God, praise God." That's legacy. That is someone seeing God in you. It's not about you, but someone to see your passion and your love for God and what God is doing you in you on the outside. That's the legacy King David leaves. That's the legacy Larry left. And may it be the legacy that we leave as well for our children after us, going, man, I don't know everything about my dad, but I know one thing. He loved his God. I could tell every time we went to church, he's weeping, he's crying, his hands are raised. He loves his God. May that be said of us. Now here's how we're going to end this thing. First, let me bring it back to the original point. Are you wrestling with fear this morning? Are you afraid? Do you know what your weapon against fear is? Praise. Faith in your God and praise. If you're in the darkness of the cave, yet to be delivered, believe God for deliverance and praise Him for it while you're still in the darkness. And like David, you may find yourself at the mouth of the cave going, God is great. He has delivered. Wake up everything in me, everything I can find. I'm going to wake up the sun by giving God glory and honor and praise for the deliverance that he has brought to me. Amen? They're going to sing. I don't know what they're going to sing, but stand up with me if you would.